Morning, everyone. Definitely want to echo the words in the bulletin about our mothers. We hope that you feel honored today, and we welcome you here. Also welcome any guests that have come. We are going to have a baptism service this morning, and there's lots of reasons to celebrate. We're going to start off our service this morning with the choir and just have a good time of corporate worship together. The choir is going to stay and help lead worship this morning. But if you could open your hymnals and turn to I Sing the Mighty Power of God. Is that number 59? I think it's number 59. We're going to ask you to join in with the choir on the third verse, on the last verse of I Sing the Mighty Power of God. I'm going to turn around and have you all stand and join us for the last verse. But we're going to start this morning with the choir. If the choir could come forward. good singing this morning. Turn to number 234. Number 234, we'll sing Crown Him with Many Crowns.
In Proverbs chapter 6, the Word of God says, verse 20, "My child, keep your father's commandment, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always, tie them around your neck. When you walk, they'll lead you. When you lie down, they'll watch over you. And when you awake, they'll talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are a way of life." Would you bow with me in prayer this morning? Our Lord God, holy, majestic is your name. You've told us that one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty deeds. How grateful we are for mothers, for grandmothers who have commended your works to us. How grateful we are for each mother, each grandmother that's represented here today. Help us to be a grateful people for the way you have so sovereignly worked in our lives to give us the mothers you have. And what a blessing to have mothers who fear you. May you bless them today. May you encourage their hearts to see their children walking in faith. And if today there are children, grandchildren, who are, as of yet, not walking in faith, would you work in their hearts? Soften them. Draw them unto yourself, we ask, Father. And Lord, as well today, we are thankful for the young people who are taking this step of obedience in faith, in following you in baptism. What an important day. May it be a day of remembrance to them. And may you, in the days ahead, in each one of these young people, work in them your work of sanctification, changing them daily, molding them, conforming them into the image of the Lord Jesus, making them young people, and later adults who will honor you in their lives and their families. How grateful we are to you that you have given us the instruction from your word. May it be that which we tie around our necks, that we use to guide us, guide our steps, our lives, and to transform us. Thank you, Father, for each one who has come today. And we know that in a body such as this, there are a great number of joys as well as sorrows. And we ask that you would comfort those who grieve. And that we would rejoice with those who rejoice. Help us, Father, to be molded by you, to be a blessing to one another, and that we would every day extol you as our God and King, and that we would bless your name forever and ever. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I invite you to stand again, and in your bulletins you'll find an insert with the song "In Christ Alone." And we're going to sing that song together. Let's stand as we sing "In Christ Alone."
Thank you.
understand that there will be children's church today, but if you are interested in any seeing the baptisms, you're absolutely welcome to stay in the service also. But we will dismiss any children to children's church that are going at this time.
That the Lord Jesus left us is a pretty significant one. Before he ascended, he told the disciples, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, you know, baptizing them, teaching them. And, you know, that's a pretty ominous task. Make disciples of all nations. And what we have discovered in the process of doing that in the last 2,000 years is that the most natural way, the most maybe efficient way to do that is in homes with parents and their children. And that is the most probably ideal setting for disciples to be made. And what you have this morning coming to be baptized are homemade disciples, if you will. These are young people who have been raised in Christian homes. They have, you know, come to church pretty much all their lives, and they have had the privilege of learning about God and learning the Bible and learning about Christ and hearing the good news of Jesus' death on the cross for us and the importance of trusting Him as their Savior. They've learned all these basic things from birth, from the beginning of their lives, and they've grown up in that ideal setting, and they've been made into disciples of Jesus, and they're coming this morning because of that. And so we want to say thank you to you dads and moms for making disciples, and just to encourage you to continue to be faithful with that task. That really is our mission and our mandate as a church, as believers. And you have been faithful to that, and we applaud your effort, and we want you to enjoy hearing the testimonies of these who are coming. We have 14 youngsters, young people, I should say, from ages, I think, 8 to 16, and you're in for a treat as you observe and hear their testimonies. But I wanted to call your attention just quickly to a passage of Scripture that kind of came to mind as I listened to each of the testimonies of these kids, and as we got ready for this morning. It's a passage in Acts chapter 8. If you have a Bible and you want to turn there and look and follow along with me, just make a few comments. This is an example of a new believer getting baptized, and I want to just walk you through it so you understand what we're doing here this morning. In Acts chapter 8, verses 25 and following, there's the story of an Ethiopian who receives Christ and is baptized. And his story is unique, but I think there are some parallels to the stories that you're going to hear this morning. In verse 26, it says, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Philip was one of the believers. He was, in fact, one of the men identified as a deacon in the early church, but an angel spoke to him saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. And so he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. So here you have this very important dignitary who has heard about the true God of Israel, and he's come all the way from Ethiopia up to Jerusalem to worship God in the temple in Jerusalem. And now he's on his way back home. He's a very powerful man, a very wealthy man. And verse 28 says, he was returning and sitting in his chariot, or his carriage, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Now that tells you a little bit about how wealthy and powerful he was that he would even have access to a scroll of Isaiah like that. But he did. Perhaps he had purchased it while he was in Jerusalem. But he has a copy of Isaiah, which would be very uncommon for an individual to possess. And he's reading a portion of that scroll. And the Spirit of God told Philip, go up and join that chariot, that carriage. And Philip ran up and heard the man reading out loud. In those days, anyone that could read always read out loud. And he was reading out loud Isaiah the prophet. And so Philip ran up alongside and asked him, do you understand what you're reading? And the man said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? And so he invited Philip to hop up in the chariot with him and ride along and interpret this passage. The passage of Scripture that he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. Now, just like you or I reading that, perhaps for the first time, the eunuch answered Philip and said, tell me, what is he talking about? Right? Of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself? Is Isaiah talking about himself in some way? Or of someone else? So that gave Philip an opportunity, opening his mouth, to begin from that scripture and preach Jesus to him. In other words, Philip had the opportunity of explaining to the man that passage, that's Isaiah 53, the passage about the suffering servant. That's Jesus. Jesus is the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. Jesus is that sheep that was led to slaughter, to die on the cross, to make atonement for our sin. He died in our place as our sacrifice and our substitute. Philip explained all of that to him. No doubt he had heard about Jesus of Nazareth who had been crucified, and rumors were out that he had been raised, and what's all this about, and Christianity was beginning to spread, and so it was a natural opportunity for Philip to fill in all the blanks in his mind and clarify all of those details. And so, verse 36, as they went along the road, they came to some water out there in the middle of this desert. Maybe a little wadi, a little stream was flowing there. Enough pool had gathered, and the man saw the water, and he said, what prevents me from being baptized? So that tells you that it was common for people to equate believing with getting baptized. That was the way. That was the instinctive response. You put your trust and faith in Christ, you demonstrate that allegiance to him by getting baptized. And that's what he wanted to do. And so they ordered the chariot to stop, and he went down into the water, and Philip baptized him, and then he was off for another evangelistic adventure. There's an interesting thing about this text, verse 37. In some of your Bibles, you may notice it has brackets around it, or it's just not there at all. It's a conversation that perhaps took place, and Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I do. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That doesn't appear in some of the oldest manuscripts. And so it was perhaps inserted later by a scribe trying to fill in the flow of how this all happened. And the truth is, it doesn't need to be inserted. Because the simple request, what prevents me from being baptized, implies, or it did in that culture, and it should in ours too, that the man believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and he trusted him and was trusting him as his Savior. So that is what is happening here today, minus some of the details here in terms of the chariot and the guy being a eunuch and being an Ethiopian and actually a whole lot of details. But the point is, you know, you all as parents, you bring your kids to church, right? They worship God. They hear the Bible story. They sit in Sunday school. They sit in church, children's church, Awana. They get bits and pieces of it, and they start to put it all together in their mind. And they ask questions. And you know, you're always shocked by the questions. Wow, interesting that my child is thinking that way, and that's encouraging. And you try to answer and fill in the blanks of their understanding so that pretty soon their grasp of who Jesus is and why he came and their understanding of the gospel comes together, and they start asking questions about being saved and being baptized. And that is exactly what has happened in the lives of these 14 young men and women. They have gone through kind of all of that process of piecing things together. The Holy Spirit has been convicting them of sin, their need for a Savior. They understand who Jesus is, that they need to put their trust in him. And maybe they put it in words of, you know, asking Jesus into my heart. But they understand that they're sinners and they need a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. And they are coming this morning to be baptized to let you know that they're trusting Christ. And I know you're going to be encouraged as you listen to their testimonies. And I would just remind you, they're believers, but they're new believers. And they need your prayers and your encouragement. And they need to see your smiling faces as they look out here at you, because otherwise they're going to be really nervous if they think you're mad at them or something. So we'll start with the girls. The girls all wanted to go first, and the guys thought that'd be a pretty good idea. So, being the gentlemen that they are, so we're going to start with the girls, and I don't know what I'm going to do with this, but hopefully we won't electrocute anybody up here in this water. Nice and warm, isn't it? Ladies and gentlemen, this is Hannah Douglas. Hannah, you want to tell us why you're here to be baptized today? And
I want to get baptized because Jesus Christ is my Savior, and he says to get baptized, and I want to obey my Savior. Also, I want to get baptized because I want to show others that I am a Christian, and I want to follow Jesus Christ for the rest of my life.
Amen. All right. Well, on the basis of your profession of faith, Hannah, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You in mind when I set the temperature on the hot water here. You guys probably know this is Laura Arnold. Laura, why don't you tell us why you want to be baptized?
Well, when I was 6, my dad shared with me about what it means to be saved, and that I needed a Savior and that I was a sinner. And so I prayed that the Lord would come into my heart. And then later when I was 12, he asked me if I thought I was saved, and I said I didn't really. And so he went over, you know, the steps of being saved and what it means again. And I asked the Lord to forgive me of my sins, and he did. And then I started to read my Bible and grow in the Lord. And I'm getting baptized today to publicly proclaim my trust in Christ. And I want to follow him the rest of my life.
Amen. Well, on the basis of your profession of faith, Laura, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and this is Lydia Arnold. Lydia, What's your story? Why are you here to be baptized today?
Well, a year ago, I decided I knew I was a sinner, and I needed a Savior. And so I asked Jesus to be my Savior and for God to come into my life. And I'm getting baptized because I want to publicly show that I'm a Christian and that everyone that is a Christian and my brothers and sisters in Christ can call me out if they see me doing something that, you know, isn't Christian-like, and I want to grow in Christ and be a better Christian.
Awesome. That's cool. You get to call her out.
Yeah.
We're counting on that. So on the basis of your profession of faith, Lydia, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Is that good? Want to do it again? You guys, this is Carrie Ellenbarger. Carrie, why don't you tell us why you're here to be baptized?
Psalm 107:2, it says, "Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others He has saved you from your sins." This is my life verse because I got saved at a very young age, but I got separated from God starting in the sixth grade. Up until this past January, I was a very rebellious sinner, and I was convicted of this and decided to change. After the change, I reaccepted Christ into my life, and that is why this verse is my life verse. First step in pursuing this verse is to be baptized, so here I am.
Awesome. Praise God. All right, on the basis of your profession of faith, then, Carrie, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Lydia Kwan. Lydia, why don't you tell us why you're here to be baptized this morning?
I want to be baptized to confess before others that Jesus is my risen Lord and Savior and that I want to follow Him.
All right. Praise God. All right. You ready to do this? I'm proud of you. I'm going to hold your arm like this. You can hold your nose if you want. So on the basis of your profession of faith, Lydia, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, boys. Nice and warm, right? You're kind of tall for this water, though. It's going to be a challenge. You got to work with me, okay? All right, William. See all these people?
Mm-hmm.
They love you, right? Standing up here talking to them, it's a piece of cake?
Yeah.
It will be. So we've had a good talk about your testimony and all that. Why don't you share with them some of the things you told me about how you became a Christian and why you're here to be baptized today?
Well, I'm here to be baptized because in the Bible, God says for us to be baptized, and I'm also proclaiming my Christianity in public.
So you're trusting Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
Fantastic. Praise God. All right, on the basis of your profession of faith, William, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just get up any way you can. actually you have died. That's what this means. Nice and warm, huh?
Yeah.
Makes you want to stand in here and give a real long talk, doesn't it? Worth a try. Feels good, though, huh? So this is Tucker Herring. Tucker, why don't you share a little bit about how you became a Christian and why you're here to be baptized this morning?
Well, my father told me that becoming a Christian is proclaiming that you have decided to proclaim that you, getting baptized is proclaiming that you are going to be a Christian and follow Christ. And in the Bible, it tells how Jesus got baptized in obedience to God. And we are supposed to follow Jesus in everything that he does. And so I'm obeying Jesus. I'm obeying God and getting baptized too.
Do you love Jesus? Why?
Because he loved me first and he took away my sins so I could go to heaven.
Nice. Awesome. He wasn't ready for that one. I got it. Does it matter? I don't think it matters. But is there a history of how you do this? I don't know. Are you ready? On the basis of your profession of faith, Tucker, then I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Yeah, don't worry about my hair. Feels good, huh? And this is Thomas Herring, you guys, and you know, all these boys are such a blessing. It's been fun just kind of talking with them, getting to know them better through this process, and hearing their stories, their testimonies. And they all have just a lot of cool, unique things. You're not hearing the half of it, but I just would encourage you to, you know, take some time, get to know these young people. They really are unique individuals and fascinating personalities. So welcome them as a part of our church family. But Thomas, tell us why you're here today. What is this all about to you?
Well, I want people to have no doubt about that I'm a Christian. And God tells us to get saved, so I'm here to do it.
Does that answer all your questions? That covers it, huh? All right. Come this way. On the basis of your profession of faith, then, Thomas, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son.
I was all wet late there.
What do you want me to do about that? How you doing, Jesse?
Fine.
Get comfortable here. Feels good, huh? You ready? All right. Look into the camera and tell your mom. Mm-hmm. Find your mom and tell her all this. That way you won't be nervous.
Huh?
Right. This is Jesse Herring, and he wants to tell you a little bit about how he became a Christian and why he's here to be baptized too.
When I was 9, we were living back in Texas, and we think I was saved, except we weren't sure, and I was saved at the other house we lived at. Mama told me, and we both prayed together when everybody was sleeping. And I guess that's it.
Are you the one that wrote the date on the
coffee table?
Was that you? Tell us about that.
Well, after I got saved, we wrote on the bottom of one of our coffee tables. And we gave that one to Goodwill, so we wrote on the bottom of our other coffee table, except then we gave that one to Papa to take apart.
So we have no record of whether you were saved or not. Well, isn't it good to know that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, huh? So on the basis of your profession of faith, Jesse, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, folks, this is Trevor Altmaier, and Trevor, let me just ask you a question. Are you a Christian now?
Yes.
And does that mean that you're trusting Christ as your Savior or trusting this water to save you?
Trusting God.
Okay. Does this water take away your sins?
No.
What does?
God.
Yeah. Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Are you here to tell these folks that you're a Christian now and you want to follow Christ and you want to ask them to help you and encourage you to do that?
Yes.
All right, let's baptize you then. What do you say? You ready? Okay. All right, Trevor, on the basis of your profession of faith in Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son. How are we doing, Obi?
Good.
You guys know Obi Kwan? He is here to be baptized this morning as well. Obi, what can you tell us about that?
I'm getting baptized because I want to reaffirm my salvation.
So you're saved now?
Uh-huh.
When did you get saved?
Well, I got saved when I was 8, I think.
And how did that happen? How do you get saved?
Well, I learned about how to get saved, so I told my parents and we prayed together, and then
that was it, huh? Just ask Jesus to save you and he did. Is it that easy?
Yes.
It really is, isn't it? Yeah. Thank the Lord, huh? Yeah. So now that you're a Christian, can you tell me if there's anything in your life that you noticed that's different about you now that Jesus is Lord and kind of making you his follower? What have you learned and what changes do you see in your life? Anything? Do you love to read the Bible and come to church and worship God?
I don't exactly like it, but
yes, that's the wrong answer, yes. Okay. Well, what do we do now? Okay, no, I'm teasing. So, it's tough sometimes doing all those things, isn't it? That's why it's called discipline is sometimes required, huh? But you're committed to that? You're committed to following Christ? And that means studying his word and learning it and obeying it, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
What?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, that's great. Turn around here. Obi, on the basis of your profession of faith, then, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Touch this with a wet hand. Gotta try it. All right, this is Noah Kwan. And he wants to get baptized today, too. So can you tell us a little bit about that? Why do you want to get baptized?
Because I want to show other people. I want to show other people that I'm a Christian.
You're a Christian now?
Yes.
And you're going to follow Jesus? You know you have the whole rest of your life to do that. Wouldn't you rather wait till later?
No.
No. That was the right answer. Good. Folks, this is Danny Douglas. Danny, what can you tell us about why you're here this morning?
Well, I realized I was a sinner, so I repented and became a Christian, and now I want to publicly share my faith in Jesus Christ.
All right, so you're committed to following him the rest of your life?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. This is David Bucal. David is probably the best theologian in the whole building right now. So he's going to try to hold back and not, you know, give you the whole deal that he could give you right now. But why don't you tell us a little bit about what this all means to you, why you're here to be baptized today?
Well, when I was 9, I became a Christian, and some people told me I needed to get baptized, but it didn't save me, so I didn't really understand why I should, so I didn't. But recently, I started reading the Bible and finding out what it was all about, and I decided I needed to get baptized.
All right, so you're trusting Christ as your Savior, not your own works and good deeds?
Yes.
Okay, and what about this baptism? Does this save you?
No.
What did you say?
No.
Okay. Let me think of a really hard... You want me to? No. All right, David. On the basis of your profession of faith in Christ, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, let's pray for them, shall we? Father, it is such a joy, such a treat, really, this morning to witness these baptisms and hear their testimonies. And we just want to give you all the praise. Thank you for your work of grace in their lives. I thank you that they've grown up in an environment where they could hear the gospel and know Christ early in life. And we pray that you would just seal them by your Spirit and protect them from the evil one and give them the grace day by day to keep growing in their walk with Christ and to continue to be obedient and faithful to him. Help us as a church to encourage and teach and love them and pray for them. But thank you for them and thank you for their families and just the joy that we have together as a church family to see these young people come to Christ. We give all praise to him and his death on the cross for us, the price that he paid that we might belong to you. We just praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you'll stand again and take your hymnals, turn to number 460. Number 460, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. Let's sing together. From Ephesians, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You're dismissed.